I hope you recognise that tune from a very, very popular TV show, CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. It's a TV show that's been running for about 10 years now, very, very popular, so popular it's sort of spun off this whole genre of TV. CSI is about a forensic team which, at the beginning of the episode, there is a body that is found. The forensic team comes in. They analyse the facts and ask, "Who are you?" They look at the body and think, "Who are you?" Well, for many of us here, Easter is very, very familiar. A familiar story. And if I was to ask you who died on the cross, I'm sure many of you were able to sort of fire off an answer without actually engaging your brains. This Easter, I want to ask the question, who died on the cross? We're going to look closely at that passage there in Colossians, particularly from verse 15 through to 20. We're going to engage a bit of a CSI approach. Have a look with me at the end of verse 20 as we see the crime scene. The crime scene? His blood was shed on the cross. Whose blood? Who was it that died on the cross? Whose blood was shed on the cross? As we investigate who this person is, just skim your eyes from verse 15 all the way through to verse 20. If you see there, you'll see the pronoun, he or him. It's repeated throughout. Verse 15, he, it's translated there, the Son, he is the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, by him all things were created, by him, for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. Verse 18, he is. In him, through his blood shed on the cross. This whole section is about the identity of the one whose blood was shed on the cross. And what we see here is staggering. Absolutely staggering. Come with me as we investigate. I'm going to draw out four aspects. There's lots of things in here, but four things. Firstly, from verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. The exact representation of God. If you want to know who God is, what God looks like, you look to him. Further down in verse 19, we see the same thing. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Can you start to wrap your minds around this concept? Who was it that died on the cross? God himself in flesh. His blood was shed on the cross. Secondly, verse 16, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. Can you start to wrap your mind around this concept? It is huge. The very one who was involved in the creation of the universe, the one who was involved in making, creating all things out of nothing, the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and you and me. Here we see that it is this one, his blood, was shed on the cross. Thirdly, again in verse 16, it says, all things were created by him and for him. So what we see here is that he's not only the one who is involved in the creation of the world, but he is the goal of creation. All things were created for him. The world was created for him. You and I were created for him, for his glory. Yet what we see is his blood was shed on the cross. And it's that which we remember at Easter. It's staggering. Fourthly, verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. See, in this little passage, this description of this crime scene, we see that not just the creator, not just the goal of creation, but the sustainer of creation. In him all things hold together. The very one who holds everything together. It is his blood that was shed on the cross. Staggering. Back to CSI for a moment. The success of the TV program, it's been going for, about 10 years. It is not just due to their special effects and gadgets. And they're good. They're very good special effects. But in each episode, you not only discover the identity of the person, but the success of the show is you discover their story. Why this person died. It's the same in this passage in Colossians. We find out not only who died, but why. Why? Why this one? The one who is the very image of the invisible God. The man in whom the fullness of God dwelt. Why this one die? Why the one who is involved in the very creation of the world? The one whom all creation was made for? The one who sustains this good creation? Why was his blood shed on the cross? Pick it up with me from verse 19. We read, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Why? His blood was shed on the cross to reconcile. The scope of Colossians is massive. To reconcile God to all things. In the opening pages of Genesis, we see the effects of sin. As everything is affected. As sin tears apart every relationship. The relationship between God and man is broken, torn apart, affecting relationship between humanity, between humans and creation. Massive effects. What we see here in these verses, that we are made by him and for him, yet we're just like those very first humans. We're just the same. We've ignored God as our creator and sustainer. We've turned our backs on the holy God. He has made us and taught us how to live in relationship with him. Yet we ignore him. We live in defiance of him and his word. And this is called sin. As we live this way, we hurt ourselves, we hurt each other, and ultimately we pay the consequences for it. That is, we face his judgment and death. And friends, on Good Friday, we remember. We remember God's love for us in what we do not deserve. That the man in whom dwelt the fullness of the living God came and his blood was shed on the cross to bring reconciliation so that you and I can be at peace with God. We've just heard the account of Jesus' death. Remember, as we heard it read, that as Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. See, the curtain in the temple was the curtain that prevented the holy God mixing with ungodly people, protecting ungodly people from the very holy God. And on the cross, as the wrath and anger of God towards both sin and sinners, even our sin, was laid on him, as his blood was shed, God's righteous anger was appeased, and the punishment for sin was paid, and the curtain was torn, that there is now access to God, access to the holy God, bringing forgiveness, peace, and reconciliation between God and men for all who call upon him. Friends, at Easter, we remember that this one is the one who died. And he died so that you and I can have peace with a living God. It is amazing. It's mind-blowing that we can now have relationship with him because Jesus died for us. It's a wonderful offer, isn't it? If you don't know this peace, you need to know that that offer is available. You too can have peace with a living God through Christ, his death for you. Let me pray for us. Father, this Good Friday, we want to give you so much thanks that this one, the one who is involved in the creation of the world, the one whom the whole world was created for, the one who holds this whole world together, left his throne in heaven, left his glory to become a man and to suffer and die the death that we deserve. Father, thank you so much that through Jesus' death for us, we can now be forgiven. We can now be at peace with you, reconciled. Father, this Easter, we pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see again what you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Give us thankful hearts. Father, convict us of our sin. Father, move in the hearts and minds of those who do not know you, so that they too will turn to you and experience this peace and forgiveness, which is now available through Christ. Amen.